soon. Yeah, we've already talked about it. So now you're going to have to add another one to it. Okay, 10 will be fine. I want a long funeral. I want to make people... I want to make them sweat. Well, he preached a long time. Every message he preached was long. Might as well have a long funeral. I won't worry about it. I'll enjoy it. But just don't make a fuss. How's that? All right, I want to ask you to take your Bibles and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I want you to stand with me, if you can, in honor of God's Word. And I want to remind you that I have preached several messages on sign gifts and such as that. And I really want to kind of, and I've probably got several more messages to preach from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But what I'd like to for you to understand this morning in the message is that this church, chapter is about a church body. That's the main emphasis. Now, I know that he talks about the gifts that he gives everyone, and any kind of gift or ability that God has given us is for the edification of the church. It's for to, and you know, the metaphor of a church, of a body, God uses that as a church. And so a church is a body of believers, and every body, every member in particular, and every member is important that's in the body. And so we find that really this chapter, even though there's a, it starts off about gifts and not being dumb about gifts or not being ignorant about spiritual gifts. And there's a lot of people that are, because people think sign gifts in many instances are still for today. We've dealt with that. So I'm not going to go back and re-preach that. I will say this. I probably had more comments about that message than many, at least some people listened to that message. That was for sure. But I want you to notice with me, beginning in verse number 14, I want just to read some verses. And again, there's so much in this chapter, it's unbelievable. But it does focus on a local visible assembly of baptized believers. Now, we know that he's writing this to the church at Corinth, and he has dealt with all kinds of problems and will continue to deal with problems. And he's dealing with problems on how they were using gifts incorrectly, but he wants us to understand that we are a body of believers. Now notice with me, he says in verse number 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" You know what I like about this? This is pretty, I believe, sarcastic. I mean, of all my spiritual gifts, my greatest is sarcasm. I'm not sure I can find it in the Bible, but I really do kind of find this is kind of sarcastic, because the nose can't say, "Hey, I want to be the eye," or the eye can't say, "I want to be the mouth," and the mouth can't say, because your mouth is important, your eyes are important, your ears are important. Everybody getting this? I mean, this is kind of 101 importance. It says, verse 15, "If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not of the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the ear, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye," that's fun, and that's sarcastic. That's funny, because I can just see this giant eye. "And the whole body's not an eye. But if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were a hearing," now you got this big ear, "where would the smelling?" If you got COVID, there ain't no smelling. All right? "But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." Everybody in the body is important. Now we go back and we remind that he gives verse number 9. He talks about giving the faith and giving the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kind of tongues. And again, we've dealt with all that. But everything that God has given us as a body of believers is for our edification, is for to help. Be a help. Be a blessing. Don't be a knucklehead. Be a blessing. Somebody say amen. humanly speaking, the physical body is the most amazing, sophisticated organism on the earth. And God likens our church as a body. And we know that the body, the physical body, is fearfully and wonderfully made. And it is an amazing organism how it's able to function. And God said, I want the church to function correctly. In love, in faith, in hope, in charity. I want people to love one another. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, they shall know you by your love that you have one for another. When God's people come into a church setting and they're not members, they should see a body functioning correctly for the glory of God. Lord, help me today to communicate the truth that is contained within the Scriptures here. And as we continue on about gifts and abilities and love and faith and hope and charity, all in the context of a church body. And Lord, we are a body, and we understand a little bit about a body. We even know that word in the Greek is soma, and there can only be one kind of body, and that is a local body, a visible body, a body that is constituted, coming together for the sake of the gospel. And God, help us that we would be the body that would be pleasing to Thee. In Christ's name we ask, amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, one of the metaphors that God uses for our relationship to each other in the church is a body. And I don't have to go over that a body is a local visible assembly of baptized believers, but I'll do it anyway because there may be somebody that's never heard that because of the doctrine that people like to throw out there, a universal church. There is no universal church, never has been, can't be. Now, the kingdom of God is universal, and that word is different than the word ecclesia or church. That word is basilia, and the kingdom of God is universal and invisible in the sense that I can't see your heart and know whether you've been saved by the grace of God. But a person that gets saved by God's grace, the Bible doesn't know anything outside of once that you are saved, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, will lead you to believer's baptism that you might be joined to a local congregation so that you can do the work that God would have you to do as a child of God. Jesus Christ died for the church, so it is important. Church membership is important. Church doctrine is important. And I'm just telling you, it is important to Jesus Christ. It is an important part of your Christian life. And so to understand that God talks about in this chapter, and He also talks about it in Colossians chapter 1 when He says, the church is the body. And when you understand there's only one kind of church, then you'll begin to understand there's only one kind of body. Meaning that it has to be local and visible just as the church is. And the physical body is amazing, and every part of the body is important. Every church member is important. At the age of 16, I cut off my ring toe. Well, I didn't completely cut it off. It was just hanging there. And when I came off of that motorcycle, because I tried to go through a little brick between two brick walls, and I caught my toe on it, and I didn't have any shoes on. You shouldn't do that riding a motorcycle. And my mother was not there and had told me to stay off the motorcycle, so judgment was real that day. When I came off of that motorcycle and I put my foot down on the ground, every time my heart would beat, the blood would squirt. And I realized I was in trouble. It was the little piggy that had none. You know, this little piggy went to market. That's the first one. This little piggy stayed home. That's the second one. The next little piggy had roast beef. I've never understood why a piggy would eat roast beef. But the next little piggy had none. Now, the last one cried wee, wee, wee all the way home. But it wasn't the last one. It was the none piggy that I cut off. I call it the ring toe. I don't know what else. Now, my feet are beautiful. And I can prove it from Scripture because the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But that day, my feet were not very good. And I won't go through the whole story to tell you about it, but that day, what I'm trying to get you to understand, and there is a lot more to the story, and my mom, she, 16 years old, that was the last time I ever got a major whooping from my mother. Because even with 8 stitches to sew back my toe back on, she came home, I was laying on the couch, I had wrapped my foot in one of her sheets that went on her bed. After I'd poured about a gallon of turpentine on top of it, because I thought that might be good till my foot was aflame. Wrapped my foot in that sheet, and she came home. And, of course, my brother ran straight to the car to rat out on me, tell me what happened. Because it wasn't his fault, it was her fault, my fault. She took me to the doctor. They put 8 stitches to cut. I missed baseball that year. I just made the All-Star team. I missed baseball. It was a bummer because it took 6 weeks. It was bad. But here's what I learned on that day. I learned that many people may think that the little piggy that had none is not really that much an important part of the body, but I learned different on that day. And that little piggy that had none showed me for the next 3 to 4 weeks that it was important, a part of my body. Now, my face may be shown more than my little toe because I do wear socks and shoes most of the time, but it's still important. And anybody that would be inside of a church and they would be saved by the grace of God, and then they join that church by baptism. And by the way, when it says in verse number 13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body," that is not a spirit baptism. That is the Holy Spirit of God that leads a man to get baptized in a local congregation and become a member, because the Bible says in Ephesians there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And I want you to understand something, that church doctrine is still important today. And in the passage of Scripture we have before us, there's a great doctrinal truth concerning the church, and I want to look at some of that church. There's a duty that needs to be understood by each church member, and in this particular body of believers. And we need to understand that there's a discernment that needs to be made. We need to discern in our spirit. We need to search the Scriptures daily. We need to be in church, and we need to hear the preaching of God's Word. And we need to know that God has given us something, whatever that might be, that we can edify one another and help one another, and to be the body of believers that God would have us to be in the location that God has placed us, which is in Springfield, Missouri. And when one member hurts, all members hurt. When one member rejoices, all member rejoices. When a man goes on the prayer list or a lady goes on the prayer list, we all need to be praying, whether they're in our circle or not, because they're in our circle. They're a part of our body. And every part of the body, even the little piggy that had none, and even the little piggy that cried, "Wee, wee, wee," is a very important part of the body. And we cannot say to God, "I wish you'd have done this." It's like people today who go, "I wish I'd have been born this way," or "I wish I had that talent," or "I wish I had this." Stop it! And be glad that God made you who you are. And by the grace of God, you can be honoring and glorifying to Him through a local New Testament Baptist church. Now, doctrine is very important. I mean, we've got to understand that doctrine is important. Every part, every doctrine is in the Bible. Sometimes people only want to say amen about the doctrine that they like. And when the preacher or the Bible begins to talk about some other doctrine that we're not real happy about or don't think we should go in that way, we don't say amen. And sometimes we even get upset that it's even mentioned, even if it's in the Word of God. But God says in verse number 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." The Word of God was actually written for doctrine. And therefore, we need to understand that the doctrine of the church is very important. It's very important. With all that in mind, the doctrine of the church tells us who's being addressed in this text, which again is the discernment that we need. We need to make a discernment, and then we need to do a duty. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us there is one body. That means one kind of body. There's only one kind of church, and we as a body of believers are here this morning coming together for preaching and instruction and exhortation and fellowship and worship and giving. And we do it on the first day of the week, which is the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't just worship on Easter Sunday. We worship every Sunday. It is the Lord's Day. And a church is to assemble themselves together as the manner of some is. And so much more as you see the day approaching. Man, COVID threw a curveball at churches across America. There's churches today that are still... If the devil can shut down a church, he knows that he's got a havoc on the church. We've got to come together. We've got to come together and sing and fellowship. And we got to understand that this church is how God wants us to do our work. You can't go sit out on the lake on Sunday afternoon, on Sunday morning, and go, "I'm worshiping nature out there." No, that's not the way God said to worship. I'm not saying you shouldn't take a vacation. No, take a vacation. Come apart lest you come apart. But it doesn't change the fact that Sunday's the Lord's Day and a church is to come together and to get instruction and preaching. And the doctrine of the church also tells us who the head is, and that's Jesus Christ. And did you know that the head tells the rest of the body what to do? If my head tells my arm to do this and my leg to do this, it does it. It's obeying the head. You know what? We don't write laws. We obey the laws that the head gave us. The doctrine of the church and the members are to live and to act in fellowship with the head, which is Christ. And the union that we have with Christ affects the union that we have with each other. Let me say that again. I thought I'd get more than an amen out of that. The union that we have with Christ and the fellowship that we have with Christ. And by the way, you can be as close to Christ as you want to. And if you're close to the Lord, then you'll be close to each other. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about love. Loving each other, loving the brethren. And Paul will even say, listen, I can have all of the gifts in the world. I can be the best preacher, which I'm not, but I could have the ability to preach. I could have the tongue of men of angels. But if I don't have love, if I don't have charity, then it's nothing more than a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I can have the gift of preaching or prophecy, understanding mysteries. I can have all knowledge. I can have faith to move mountains. But if I don't have love for the brethren, if we don't have love for one another, we're not the kind of body we're supposed to be. And let me tell you something. When one part of your body gets messed up, it affects the whole body. Ask the little toe when I was 16. Or ask anybody that has some kind of ailment or something happens in their body. Or how about a toothache? How about a cracked tooth? I mean, it will make the rest of your body scream. And it's just one little tooth. I mean, it's just a little bitty thing like that. It's not that big a deal, but it will remind the rest of your body how important your grinders are. That's what the Ecclesiastes calls your teeth, your grinders. It talks about how when you get older, your grinders sometimes fall out or they crack. And praise God for the dental technology that we have today. But back in the old days, buddy, if you had a bad tooth, they'd pull it out. Grinder one gone. Grinder two gone. The time you get old, you'd be eating mashed potatoes and stuff before. And you wouldn't be eating anything hard. No peanut brittle when the grinders are gone. Everybody understand what I'm saying? I want you to look at verse number 1 he talks about. He goes, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Verse number 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given every man to profit with all. Now, reminder, he is speaking in a church context. Everything that we need as Berean Baptist Church, God has given us. He's placed the mem. Every time somebody joins our church, every time somebody gets saved and the Spirit of God leads them to be baptized into our church, because that's the only way you get baptized into the church, and you say, I believe the doctrines of this church, I'm going to put myself under the submission of this church, God adds a member to this church, they become an important, vital entity of this body of believers. And you know what our responsibility is to glorify God. We are not, it's not self, it's not about us, it's about the one we serve, it's about the Great Commission, it's about preaching the gospel, it's about people getting saved, it's about people being made disciples, it's about learning the things of God, and that's why line upon line, precept upon precept, here a message, there a message, next message, Sunday school lessons, all of these things. It's so that 1 year from now we should not be the same, we should grow closer to the Lord. We should be a stronger body. Listen, you don't want, I mean, you just don't go outside and run a marathon. You'd just fall over. So what you do is you follow one of these plans that, and there's all kinds of different plans that people can follow, and people follow different plans, and there might be, you run a half a mile one day, you run a mile and a half next day, you do this, you do that. And over a 6 to 7 month period, people, if they're any kind of shape, they put themselves in shape so that one day they can run that marathon. And if you've ever run a marathon, which I have not, I've done a half marathon on an elliptical machine, but I've not even ran a half marathon. I'm going to tell you, it was grueling. But you just don't do that overnight. You've got to do a little here and a little there. You're not going to be Mr. Mature Christian overnight, but you should be a mature Christian after a certain length of time. You should know what you believe and why you believe it. And you should have convictions based on the Word of God. I think about Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that tells us that God begs us or beseeches us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then he says this, that's your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants you in His will. God wants you to grow. The view that you have of yourself and the view that you have of others in your particular body will help determine if you will fulfill the duty that God has for you inside of this body of believers. If it is our failure in our attitudes, in our self, and we think it's about us, we rob ourselves of our effectiveness, and we rob ourselves of our influence for Christ, and we will not grow and mature like God would have us to grow and mature. God wants us to be a living sacrifice, to be separated in our thinking, in our lifestyle, to be sober-minded and to be sensible when it comes to our attitude about ourselves. People think too much about themselves. Way too much. They come into a church, they sit down and they go, what can this church do for me? How about what can you do for this church? What can you do for this body? What can you do to glorify the Lord? What can you do? When's the last time you witness to somebody? I want to say, I praise God. I've been praying for an opportunity to witness to a certain person. And this week, it was like God answered my prayer. I stood there and I didn't care who was around, but I was able to give my testimony of salvation, when I got saved, what the setting was, how God changed my life, that I ain't always been a preacher. Sometimes people think preacher's always been a preacher. I wasn't always a preacher. I got saved by the grace of God. I got saved out of sin. I got saved because God loved me. I'm telling you right now, if you don't get saved, you will die and go to hell if you die without Christ. It is important to be saved by the grace of God. You must repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Savior. He will move in and change your life. He changed my life. If you'd have known me before I got saved, you wouldn't believe it. If you met my wife before we got saved, you wouldn't believe it. Make sure she don't throw something at me. She was more wicked than I was. No, I was more wicked than she was. God changed our life. The Spirit of God led us to an independent Baptist church that we got baptized in. We begin to go to church and hear the preaching of God's Word. We had to go home and throw things away. We had to go home and get rid of stuff. We had to go home and get rid of a lot of stuff. You know why? Because God says, don't do this, and God says, do that. And I'm telling you, God has given every one of us a gift to be used through this church. we talked about, you know, Paul said, now some things are more noticeable than others. When you look at somebody's hair, some people got good hair. Some people, they just got hair. And some people just don't got no hair. And that's noticeable. But little toes and they go wee, wee, wee. Nobody, I hope you don't go around looking at people's toes. It's not very noticeable. But people's faces, that's more noticeable. Paul talks about, hey, there's certain gifts that are going to be more noticeable. But every gift is important. The things that people do behind the scenes are just as important as the preacher who preaches the Word of God every week. The person who works in the nursery and uses their talents for that, because let me tell you something, working in the nursery is a whole lot harder than preaching in front of people, in my opinion. But it's necessary. Sending cards to people, taking food to people, having the gift of giving and encouragement. Listen, I could go on and on. All of those things are important. Some of those things are not noticeable to the whole body at any one given time, but it is so important. But if you start thinking too highly of yourself, there's dangers that comes. One is to overestimate your importance and become filled with pride. The other attitude is what I call false humility, as a person looks at himself, oh, I just can't do anything. Stop it! That's not true. That's false humility. That's laying down, woe is me. Stop. I'm telling you right now, that's the best counsel I can give you. Stop it! That is not the Spirit of God. We have an obligation to be discerning and not to think too high or too low of who we are and what God has planned for us. Don't overestimate your worth, because it will do nothing but lead to embarrassment. But don't have the attitude, woe is me, I can't do anything, because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. A person can be very successful in the eyes of the world and be a flop in the eyes of God, and that's why discernment is very important. Galatians 6 says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Excuse me. On the other hand, the I can't do anything is nothing but a crutch for laziness, seeking sympathy from somebody, attention or praise from other people. Some people just, you know, listen, we don't all, every time we do something, it doesn't necessarily have to have a pat on the back. God sees us. God knows what's going on. Paul didn't have this attitude because he knew he was a sinner. He was saved by the grace of God. He knew where he had been. He knew where he was going. He knew that he deserved, and he knew who it was that deserved the praise and honor, and that was Christ. He's the one that's to get the glory. He's the one that's to get the credit. If I was to take you over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and I've always said that 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy are important books in the Bible because they were really the last words of Paul, 2 Timothy was. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, and he said this in verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. Did you see that? He enabled me. For he counted me faithful, and he put me into the ministry. He said, how could this happen? How could God put me in the ministry? In verse 13, he said, because before I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, my friend, everybody's got saved out of something. Everybody's been somewhere and seen the love of God in salvation. He goes on to say in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, and only wise God, look at this, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. If our church doesn't glorify God, then we're nothing but a social club. If our church don't preach the gospel, then we're nothing but we're just teaching. Ronald Reagan had a sign on his office desk in the Oval Office. I've read several books on Ronald Reagan. Probably my most favorite one was Ronald Reagan kept a diary of every day that he was in the Oval Office. There was only one day that he didn't write in it, and that was the day he got shot. It was the next day, and then so there was a couple of days in between. But he wrote in that diary, and he made it very clear that no, he had this diary. He had this diary of 8 years in the office, and he said nobody, he wouldn't let anybody touch it. It was all wrapped up and put in a safe somewhere. And then he said when he died, he would give it to a publisher. And he already picked out the publisher, and the guy took it, and he transcribed the whole book. And I believe it's called The Diary of Ronald Reagan. And come to find out in that book, there's not very many presidents that had done that. But anyhow, it's fascinating. You can really see behind the scenes and stuff. The reason that Reagan was important to us is because we were in the military. We served 6 years, me and my wife. I served six. She served four in the United States Air Force. And the whole time, except for the first 4 or 5 months, Ronald Reagan was the commander-in-chief. But he had a sign on his office desk in the Oval Office that said this: there is no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't mind who gets the credit. Now put that in a church context. The discernment that God wants us to have in our lives is, hey, what do you want me to do, Lord? We need to discern what God has given us in our gifts and our abilities so that we can use it in the church. Some of the old-timey singers, and I say old-timey music back in the 30s and the 40s, many of those people that became superstars later on started in church. I remember Ralph Stanley said that he started singing in a Baptist church way back when, and he talked about, they said to him, you ever heard his voice, they say, how did you learn that? He just said, well, it had to be born into you to sing like that. But what I'm saying is many of those people didn't use their talents for the glory of God. They went on to use it for the world, fame, and glory. Don't use your talents for the world. Use your talents for God. These gifts that God has given us are based on God's grace. Who deserves God's grace? Nobody. But the truth is, gifts are bestowed as a matter of free favor. Salvation is the gift of God based upon the grace of God. None of us deserve to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to go to heaven and say, let me tell you how I got here. If you got there, it's because God's grace. And you got saved by God's grace. But every one of us has a duty. We've got to discern in the body, but we've got to understand the doctrine of the church. We've got to discern things in the church, but we got to understand that we have a duty in the church. That's why he said, now listen, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole hearing were, where would it be the smelling? Everybody can't be the pastor, because there's only one pastor. Everybody can't be the music director, because if you have more than one, in my opinion, it's confusion. When a person gets saved, he's been adopted into the family of God. That's amazing. If you know anything about adoption, it's to take the child of someone else and to bring them into your house and treat them just like they were born in your house. We were born in the family of the devil. And when God saved us, He adopted us into His family. And we're joint heirs with Christ. Man, that's awesome. When you get baptized, you become a member of the church. And now a whole new relationship comes into your life. And with relationships come responsibilities. We are to help each other. We are to be helpers of each other's faith. I want to say this out loud. I am not the priest of your home, but I want to be a helper in your faith. The word in Romans, boy, we just keep jumping back to Romans for some reason, but in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10, it says, be kindly Well, let's just look at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. The word honor means with deference and reference. Our attitude is to be that of a servant. How can I serve you? Romans chapter 12, in verse number 16, it goes on to say, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. We are to be a confederate with one another. We are to be of the same mind, which means we are to agree together and we are to cherish the same things. When some part of your body decides not to cherish the same things as the rest of the body, you find yourself at the doctor saying, I got this pain and I don't know what it is. We may not always see eye to eye on a particular matter, but we can be agreeable with one another. It means we are to preserve the unity of the church and not let trivial matters divide us. You know what? COVID has divided many people in a church setting. There's people that there's to mask or not to mask, to be vaccinated or not to be vaccinated. That is your decision. But it shouldn't have anything to do with this body of believers and serving the Lord and being on the same page, headed in the same direction. We are to cherish one another. Did you hear what I said? I said we are to cherish one another. This is a church setting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is talking about the body working together, using our abilities and our gifts for the glory of God, and to cherish one another, be a servant to one another, be compassionate with one another. Oh, there's all kinds of scriptures in the Bible we could go to. And I think about the first church that Jesus spoke to His disciples, and He was telling them how to act and how they were all messed up. And they were going, well, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus said, what was it that you spoke about when you were on the way? Oh, they didn't want to talk about it. But they were arguing over who should have the best position in the kingdom. That's not our responsibility. That's God's responsibility. We should be low. We should be servants. We should be foot washers. In John chapter 13, here's what the Lord said. He said, in John chapter 13 and verse 34, He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciple, if you have love one toward another. Wow. We're to be compassionate to one another. Paul would tell this to the church at Ephesus. Peter would talk to this about to other people. We're not to boast about our gift because that would bring glory to self. I've said it, and I guess maybe I shouldn't jokingly said it. Brother Ron Jones, but one of the best preachers, good, great preacher. Brother Park Sutton, he's got both members here. They were good preachers. And somebody from Brother Bill Marshall's church comes, and I'll say, hey, tell Brother Bill, I said, how? And good thing y'all got to come hear some real preaching. That's hyperbole. And if you don't know what hyperbole is, look it up. Because what I'm saying is we're not to boast about some gift that we might have. I shouldn't say, man, I'll tell you, I'm about the best preacher you'll ever hear. That's crazy. Because that just brings glory to self. My preaching should bring glory to God. My preaching should be so pointed from the Word of God that you don't even know who it is. It's like you know what Paul said to the church, the churches of Galatia. He said, "Where is the blessedness that you spake of when I was with you? Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" He said, "When I was with you, you would have plucked out your own eyes for me," which I believe means that his infirmity in the flesh probably was his eyes. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, but why would he make a statement like that? You love me so. He said, You treated me like I was an angel from God when I came there and preached. You know why? Because they got saved. And it was God who got the glory. Jeff Abels ain't never saved anybody. And I never will. But I am to preach the gospel and show people how they can have their sins forgiven. how they can be saved by the grace of God. We are also not to belittle our gift, because that would bring false humility. Well, I just don't know what to preach. You know, I heard preachers say that. Now, just so you'll know what Pastor Abels always says when somebody says that, I say, preach the next verse. I've heard people say, expository Bible preaching is the lazy man's way of preaching. Well, you ain't never studied the Word of God then, buddy. No. To preach the Word of God verse by verse, I mean, that takes labor. That takes intensity. So don't belittle your gift. Because don't be jealous or resent what somebody else might have. Look at this. In verse number 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body. It's almost like, oh, the foot wants to be the hand and the hand wants to be the foot. And the ear says, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Paul says in verse 17, well, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? I'm sorry, but I just get this vision of big eye walking around. And somebody's yelling at the eye, hey! And somebody says, he can't hear, he's an eye. He's got eye disease. And you know why God didn't put our nose upside down? Because we'd drown when it rains. Didn't Brother Gray used to say that? I think he did. You know, then you'd have to wear a hat all the time or go around with an umbrella because it'd start raining and get in your nose. God made us like we're supposed to be. God gave us a church for His honor and for His glory, like it's supposed to be. Now, we're not to be bitter about the gift God has given us. We're not to be jealous or resentful about maybe somebody else. Hey, listen, let me just tell you something right now. And I'm not belittling who I am, but I don't have a lot going on. It's amazing to me that I get to pastor. It's awesome. I know that there's people that are much more talented than me, so rather than being resentful about that, why don't you just put around people that can do things that you can't do? Because that'll benefit the body. That'll benefit the church. That'll give honor to God. I know people who don't want anybody to do something they can't do because they'll feel like they're, no. If there's one thing I'd be resentful about, it's a guy that can preach and sing. I mean, give me a break. But I'm not, because I'm preaching here. So that's right here. You know, Paul speaks about some motivational gifts in 12, some other gifts here in 1 Corinthians. Remember, they didn't have the complete Word of God. But you know what the Bible says? If any man lack wisdom, let him act of God. He talks about knowledge in verse number 8. You know what knowledge is? God's Word and what it says. You know, we need to have a knowledge of what God's Word and what it says. We need to study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He talks about verse number 9, to another faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He talks about prophecy in verse number 10, the proclamation of the truths of the Word of God. It involves exposing sin for the purpose of helping people. What kind of preacher would I be if I didn't preach the hard verses? It involves exposing sin for the purpose of helping people. That's why Paul told Timothy to preach the Word, to be instant in season, out of season. We're all to proclaim the truth. He talks about ministry in another portion of Scripture here. He talks about ministry, serving others, meeting other people's needs. Do you know what a person should be doing? Looking to help other people. How can I help somebody else? We are all to be servants. For brethren, you've been called into liberty. Only use not the liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by love to serve one another. Teaching. I'm not going to elevate Chris Gamble or Brother James, but I'm telling you, our Sunday school class, we got good teachers. That means they have the gift to make the Word of God understandable. They are able to clarify truth and validate the information to people that they might make correct decisions. We are all instructed to teach somebody. Some people just got that natural ability to be able to disseminate the truth. Praise God! Because that's what a church needs. Exhorting. There's another thing he speaks about. Exhortation means to call near. It means it's the gift that desires to promote spiritual growth so that the unsaved will be attracted to the gospel. And we're all to exhort one another. In fact, do you know that your presence in church actually exhorts people? Getting a card from somebody when you're having a difficult time, you've been through a hard spot in your life, you've lost some loved one, and at the right time you get that encouragement from somebody, should be everybody. Everybody should be teaching. Everybody should be preaching. Everybody should be ministering. Everybody should be exhorting. Everybody should be giving. But there's some people that just give liberally. They do it with the right motive. They want to invest in somebody else. They invest their life into somebody else. They see a need and they give to that need. A giver is one who makes wise investments in order to advance the work of God. That's why Paul talked about generous giving to the Philippians in Philippians 4:19. He talked about the Macedonian churches who were willing to give part of their income that the poor saints in Jerusalem might have help. And he talked about how they gave and how they gave. And we could talk about giving to missions and we could talk about giving to special projects. Some people, it's very easy for them. Other people should be giving, but it's harder for them. Work on it. It'll help you. He talks about ruler, an organizer. Not my best gift, but we got to work on that because you need to plan ahead. Delegate in order to reach a goal. Let all things be done decently and in order. You know what? I am not ashamed that we have an order of service. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes it's all right to go, hey, we're going to get out of order and change things around a little bit. It's okay. God likes order. God would like you to have order in your life. Mercy. Can somebody say mercy? Boy. Mercy is able to share the burdens of others. Mercy is able to give comfort in difficult times. That's why Paul would say to those same believers in Galatia, he would say in Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and listen to this, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now listen, this has not been a salvation message on a Sunday morning. This has been a church message. To the church called Berean Baptist Church in Springfield. So I'm not a member of Berean Baptist Church. Well, I'm talking to the church members really. But you need to, it's like when Jesus Christ would teach His disciples, sometimes the multitudes heard it also. Sometimes when He would be preaching to the multitudes, the disciples heard what He had to say. And so it should be able to go to all of us to understand that God wants every person to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And then God would say, when you get saved, you're going to be led by the Spirit, whether you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit or not. But the Holy Spirit moves in when a person gets saved. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And He's never going to lead you contrary to truth. And when you get saved, He will lead you to be baptized into a local congregation of believers. Why? Because He died for the church and He says, this is how I want you to do my service. This is how I want you to do your work. But while you're in there, remember, you got responsibilities. You're to help each other. You're to be compassionate. You're to love one another. You're to help one another. You're not just to be a taker. You're to be a giver. And you know what? Isn't it amazing that tonight I want to preach on David and Jonathan and the relationship that they had? And man, there's some great applications that could be made, like people who go, well, you know, I just don't have any friends. Well, you got to show yourself friendly. You got to plug in. I had a guy tell me that used to be a member. Well, I just don't know anybody. Well, come to men's prayer meeting. Come to Sunday school. Come to church. Find somebody you don't know. Invite somebody over that you don't know. Do something for somebody that you can't get. Anyhow, that'll be tonight. That's not this morning message. But it kind of lays in. You know, I'm always amazed when the morning message and the evening message intersect. And Jonathan and David, as you'll see tonight, they had a lot of things in common. They both liked killing Philistines. When David cut the head of Goliath off, Jonathan didn't get mad. Jonathan goes, "Hey, I want to be with that guy. He likes to kill Philistines. I kill Philistines. He killed the biggest Philistine." And Jonathan was willing. Jonathan was willing to be David's captain of the guard. If Saul hadn't gotten away, Jonathan would have been a lot better than Joab. More loyal. Knit at the heart together. They would have done great exploits for God. Not that God didn't use Joab, but man, Joab, he was... Well, David said to Solomon, he said, "Don't let that hoary head go down to his grave." He killed Abner when I made peace with Abner. Abner will help David bring the kingdom together. And then Joab killed Abner. And David mourned, and so that the people would understand. David didn't do that. Joab did that. David wanted peace with Abner. He wanted the kingdom. Anyhow, Jonathan would have been a better captain of the guard. So I want you to understand there's a doctrine to be understood, and that's the doctrine of the church, how important it is. There's a discernment needs to be made, and then there's a duty to perform what God has given us. Your gift is from God, and not everyone has the same gift. Not everyone is the same person. We've got different personalities. Some people are laid-back city. Some people are ADHD. You need both to balance them out. You need every gift. But your gift is from God, and not everyone has the same gift. But we all need to be improving in the Christian walk so that whatever God has given us, ability or gift, that it can glorify God and build up the church. Edification. Edify. Be yourself and not someone else. Do your best with what God has given you and use what God has given you to bring Him honor and Him glory. Because it's all about Him. Yes, God wants people to be saved. God wants people to be plugged into a church. No doubt about it. But when we are, it's all about Him. And Jesus said, fellas, to His disciples, the world's not going to know you by a lot of things. But they can know you if you have love one toward another. They'll see something different. When people come to Berean Baptist Church, there's no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And what I mean by that, John said, is that when people are serving together for the honor and glory of God, they're giving, they're teaching, they're exhorting, they're loving. Hey, we ain't perfect, but we all need to be headed in the same direction for His honor and His glory. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're saved this morning, I hope you understand the truth. If you're not saved this morning, I pray that the Spirit of God would convict you of your need of salvation. One day it's going to be too late if God deals with you. The only time you can be saved is when the Holy Spirit of God draws you and deals with you where you're at. And so I think we need to be convicted as a church body about, hey, what am I doing to give honor and glory to God and to build up my church, build up God's body? Never, everybody ain't to ear and everybody ain't to nose. And people don't ever come up to me and say, "Preacher, am I the eye or the nose?" I have no idea. God has to work all that out. I just need to be doing what God's called me to do, and you need to do what God's called you to do, and it needs to be for His honor and for His glory. But we all need to be doing something. We all need to be doing whatever God has given us. Father, we love You this morning. Thank You for the truth contained in 1 Corinthians 12, and I've just touched a little bit of the surface. There's so much there in that particular passage of Scripture and in that particular chapter. As we looked at already some things that sign gifts that are no longer in play today, but there are so many things that are in play. I think we should quit being concerned about what is past and be concerned about where you, what you've given us right now. God, there's people that need to be saved. There's Bible studies that need to be done. There's people that need to be witnessed to. There's people that need to be encouraged. There's doctrine that needs to be preached. There's lives that need to be changed. God, for your honor and for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Brian's going to lead us in 494, wherever he leads, I'll go. That's a great verse. That's a great song. Wherever he leads, we'll go to what he says. As we sing, if